Before I start my sermon, I want to draw your attention to something. You will notice that we are doing communion in a little different order. It will be directly after the sermon rather than a little later in the service. The reason for that is I truly feel that communion is part of the Word of God. So it will be, I hope, very apparent that my sermon will just go straight to the table. And I hope you all will enjoy it, or at least give it a shot. And elders, if you have not heard, I believe you are going to come forward during the invitation to the table when you hear me say, come to the table. All right, that's out of the way. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we are here to worship you. We are here to hear your voice. We are here to be changed by you. Holy Spirit, bless my words. But more importantly, let each of us hear the message you want us to hear today. Amen. There was a Presbyterian who skipped church on Sunday morning to go to the track. He went to go bet on some horses. Being from Louisville, this happens a lot. Well, the first couple races, he was not doing well. He was losing over and over again. But then he saw that a priest went over and blessed one of the horses. He was a little surprised, but he kept watching, and he realized that horse won. So the next race, when he saw the priest go down and bless another horse, he put a few dollars on that horse. Yet again, he won. The following race, again, a blessing. And again, the man immediately went to the betting window and put a good bit of money on that horse. And he won again. It happened another time. He saw the priest bless the horse, and he took every bit of cash he had on him and put it down, and the horse won. And he was just so ecstatic that he was doing so well. It was the last race of the day, and the priest went down and blessed the longest shot that there had been all day. The man ran to the ATM, took out all of his savings, cleared out his checking account. He went to the betting window with a huge amount of money, put it down. The race started. The horses left the starting gate, rounding. The one horse was coming in dead last, but he thought, surely the horse will make a recovery. About halfway through, the horse fell over dead. And the man lost everything. So he went up to the priest afterwards. He said, Father, I've been watching you all day blessing these horses, and you've been winning. What happened on the last horse? And the priest just shook his head, and he said, you Protestants, you never know the difference between a blessing and last rites. In my experience, this is very true. That we Protestants a lot of times misunderstand blessings. We completely miss them altogether often. But I don't think it's just Protestants. I think most people wind up misunderstanding what a blessing truly is. Jesus tried to address what true blessings are. And he started off the greatest sermon that has ever been preached with blessings, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who are insulted, persecuted, falsely say evil because of me, for their reward will be in heaven, because even the prophets have been persecuted. This does not sound like normal people who are blessed. In fact, more times than not, we would say they are the cursed. They are the ones who God has not looked fondly upon. But Jesus did not just come up with the Beatitudes. He truly built on what many of the prophets had taught for hundreds of years before them. And one of the true groundbreaking prophets that changed the way we should see the entire world was this chapter in Micah. He began by saying that all of nature itself should see the guilt that was upon Israel at that time. And he pointed out that they were being legalistic. They were following the letter of the law by giving their tithes and their offerings. But they had forgot what love is. So he told them what it truly means to be blessed, to live out justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with their God. These are the true signs of blessings. The misunderstanding of those who are blessed, though, has not lessened over the years. Even though Micah and Jesus taught them, we still misunderstand. We listen to the world's beatitudes rather than to God's. They tend to go something like this. Blessed are the rich, for they will have security. Blessed are the comfortable, for they will have comfort. Blessed are the healthy, for they will not have to trust in God. Blessed are the lucky, because the world is at their hands. Blessed are the powerful, for they can make up their own rules. Blessed are the dishonest, because they will rise to power. These tend to be what we hear are the blessed and what we should strive to be. And even in church, we miss the point of being blessed. We tend to try to follow the rules. If we do A, B, and C, then we are good Christians. The first thing people bring out are the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. If you follow every commandment, you are a good Christian. If you go to church on Sunday mornings, you are a good Christian. If you tithe, thank you for that, by the way, but you are a good Christian. If you follow the rules that we tell you to follow, then you are a good Christian. You will never have to worry about salvation. You will never have to worry about being in God's grace if you follow every one of those rules. The problem is that Jesus, Paul, and the prophets all told us that legalism is the opposite of faith, and that prosperity tends to be the opposite of blessed. We continue to seek the world. We continue to seek the easy path. And then we call ourselves blessed. When we have the world's beatitudes and our faith is built on legalism and rules, we never have to depend on people. We never have to depend on God. And both Micah and Jesus, through the true beatitudes, call us to something greater. Both Micah and the beatitudes are built on community. Community with God and community with each other. When we are pure in spirit, when we are mourning, And we are when we are persecuted for righteousness, we have to be dependent on God. We have to be dependent on our brothers and sisters in the church. And through Christ, we will never be let down. For God will never abandon us. And when we are in community, our community will lift us up. When we are meek, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, when we are merciful, when we are peacemakers, when we seek justice, and when we love kindness, we will be the blessing to others. We will be God's presence to people who truly need to see what love is. A very quick aside, the righteousness in the Beatitudes is not about living right. Although living right is a great thing. Following the Ten Commandments is a great thing. But the righteousness in the Beatitudes is much more about looking into our world and seeing that it is not right. That we have hunger and poverty. We see places and people who the church has excluded. And hungering and thirst for that righteousness is by taking steps against hunger, taking steps against poverty, and by welcoming people into the church. It is very, very similar to seeking justice from Micah. But when we do these things, we are inviting others into community. We are truly being the hands and feet of the Lord. And when we are pure in heart, when we are insulted and persecuted, falsely accused, and have evil things said about us because of Jesus, and when we walk humbly with our God, we are truly being in communion with the Lord of Lords, the God of God, the Creator of the entire universe. We are being brought into God's family. To me, being dependent on God and being dependent on each other and being in community with God and each other, these are the true laws. These are the true blessings. It is where we see God's love and grace, and it is where we can share God's grace and love with other people. These are the true blessings. And those who experience them are truly the blessed. Jesus did not only preach these things, but Jesus the Christ also lived it. Jesus showed us what true blessings are on the night that he shared a dinner with his closest friends. On a night that he made a statement to the world that power is not what to seek, but love is what we should strive for. There is no greater place where we can see this than at the Lord's table, at the table that the Christ set for each of us. So come from the north and the south. Come from the east and the west. Come all nations of the world. Come all people to the table.